Today's podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to PTBN's NBA Team Podcast. Now that we are past the All-Star break, we are past all the pomp and circumstance of and the glamour and the tradition of the All-Star game, and now we're actually getting past the Academy Awards really soon. Now we can get down to the nitty-gritty of the NBA regular season, where things are actually kind of interesting. You know, most rosters are stabilizing themselves now that the trade deadline is passed and the buyout market is sort of made its way through. So we got a little bit of thing that we can actually talk about where we don't really have too much more. Adam Murray, co-host. That's your name, Adam Murray, co-host. Like, do you feel like there's still a little bit of tumultuousness in terms of like how you feel about these teams? Or do you feel like at this point with the roster stabilizing, with who they have, who they can bring in, what they can fit on their cap, that this is pretty much you feel pretty confident in what you're seeing?
Well, that was the, you know, we've gone through the trade deadline. We've gone through, you know, now we're in the buyout market. You know, people, all the old timers are now resting. I'm surprised, you know, teams are getting every last ounce of their players before they release them. And then, you know, that'll be the big, you know, scoop to sign things up and people up. And now we're just sort of in the, now it becomes real. Now all the questions will be answered, and we can't say, well, it's still only a third of the season. Well, it's only halfway into the season. Now it's just your teams are who they are. You've made your good trades, bad trades, crazy trades, stood pat, whatever. Now let's get in the last 25 games or so.
I know. We're like, you're at game number 60 for most teams, like 59 to 60. I mean, you got 20 to 22 games to go. So, I mean, You're like you said, you're more than halfway. You're probably two thirds through this season. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, this is the point where you need to sprint to the last.
Or three fourths would probably be fairer to say.
Yes, but the first third up, you know, the first month up to Christmas doesn't count.
Well, especially that for now that they've extended it to the middle of October, now it really feels dreadful at the beginning. Like, it almost feels like people are just disengaged. Like, you don't really – now, there are some teams that really start out hot. Like, the Bucks started out hot, and they've sort of carried that through. But there are a lot of teams that are playing really well now that in that first two or three weeks in October and in early November, you're just like, yikes, you know?
Remember when Memphis was number the top – the two seed in the West?
Yeah. Last year, it was Orlando. Orlando played very well.
Orlando starts hot, and then they realize who they are. And then, Okay, let's gut our team and make questionable trades and – you know, do what we need to do, and okay, here you go.
Now, we don't have too much stock about some of the teams that we've seen. Now, we have seen some of these teams pass the trade deadline with their new pieces in place. You know, we've seen Tobias Harris play with the Philadelphia 76ers, along with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons and Jimmy Butler. There's a couple of others that we're going to mention throughout the show. So we've seen a glance out of some of them, but past the All-Star break, which, you know, the All-Star game was just this past Sunday, which was run by Team LeBron over Team Giannis? Is that what it was?
Yep, that's what it was, because it matters. You know, what, I had a coworker who gave the perfect analogy. You know, because everyone, like, you know, the All-Star game sucks. No, who cares about it? It's just nobody takes it seriously. It's like, no, this is made for 13-year-olds who will, you know, become lifelong fans because they're watching LeBron high-five AD and Steph Curry doing super bounce passes to Giannis. This is just for them.
I will say the Giannis the Curry bounce pass to Giannis was really sweet. I will say that.
It was, but overall, it's the dunk contest needs to go away.
You weren't impressed by Hamidou Diallo's dunks?
You need to people just need to stop the we need to jump over stuff every round.
Can you believe that man was like a millisecond away from breaking his ankle? That's the MA. And not only that, Caris LeVert is back. When did this happen?
He came back because his injury, thankfully, wasn't as bad as it.
Adam, are these people freaking mutants? Or is modern medicine just become postmodern? Is that where we're at now?
Caris LeVert was luck this time.
Yeah.
He thankfully it just looked ugly. The same way with Zion Williamson going down with his busted shoe.
Oh,
that's the big story, which we'll get to later. Yes,
yeah, we're going to talk about that at probably table that for the end, because that's it's a bunch of big picture shit attached to that that really doesn't matter that much when it's all just about a bad shoe, like just a faulty shoe. But yeah, All Star Game, Team LeBron won. You can never go wrong picking Durant first. Durant won MVP. And then you have a couple of games, not many, because it started the season restarted on Thursday. But we had a nice little slate there, including one that wasn't on TNT. The two TNT games were the Boston Celtics at Milwaukee to play the Bucks. The Bucks won in a tight one, and then the Lakers came back from down 19 against the Rockets in a game where James Harden like got into foul trouble pretty early, I want to say. And then the third one was the Warriors. Did they beat the Kings in that game, or did the Kings win that game?
No, the Warriors won in the end.
But it was a nice little game.
So. It was a nice little game. And the problem with that is then the Celtics and the Lakers laid duds the following night. And the Lakers, you know, lost poorly to New Orleans.
Did you see the tweet that they forgot to take Luke Walton on the bus?
Did they?
Yes. Luke Walton was at the they were walking out the locker room, and the bus had already gone off without him, and they had to wheel back around.
That is a dysfunctional team.
Yes, it is. I mean, they're talented, but the problem with the Lakers is that their defense has absolutely fallen apart for the last two or three weeks. Ever since LeBron came back, the defense has just not been right. And you were mentioning the other team being Boston with a dud.
Boston is just – this is the team who we've inherited. They're all – Kyrie is just having them, you know. Nobody can understand what he's doing. Only he does. It makes no sense from any PR standpoint, from any standpoint, period, just to be, questionable comment after questionable comment. And then you have – all year, everybody's calling out everybody else, and then you just have horrible games, and then it's they play to the level of their competition every night, and it's just you're losing many bad games. You can't keep doing that.
Their defense is still good, but it's definitely slipped from last year. Would you agree?
Agreed.
I mean, not that far off. Like they're still. I think their efficiency is somewhere like in the high teens, but I would say probably like a top 10 defense going into the playoffs. But they were like number one.
But for a team who was supposed to be, you know, warrior killers and supposed to be the best in the East and, you know, the number two team, to just be the five seed in the East, and it's just – it's not a good look.
No. And then, there's been a few other games. Like the Saturday night game that they had on ABC was the Rockets and the Warriors, but the Rockets played without James Harden. I think he still had his feelings. I will say this. Because I was watching Russell Westbrook, he got a charge call in a close game where they lost to the Kings, and he had a conniption fit that they called a charge. It was clearly a charge. The one thing I will say about superstars, man, maybe I'm just being kind of like ignorant about it all, but God, they get their feelings hurt so quickly when they get bad calls their way. I mean, they just – I definitely see that with James Harden. You saw that in the Laker game where it's like – it's almost like they lose their mojo when the referees kind of – give him the business with the officiating.
Well, that's the thing is, you know, everybody's there supposed to just watch them, and it's their game, and like you have all the old timers calling, like, you know, they're not taking it seriously. They think it's all one joke, and you know when the superstars get butt hurt because you get a call doesn't go your way or you get a bad call, it just shows. There's no day in, day out, we need to win. It's just, I'm going to go out and do my thing because people want to see me.
Definitely so. But the thing I just noticed that sometimes even if they have a really good game, like Harden in that game had a very good game. He just got in foul trouble, you know, and it's almost like it just ruins like the whole flow of it for that player, you know. But, you know, we've seen a couple of games that are just kind of a little bit of head scratchers, you know. The Brooklyn Nets are kind of playing well. Is that fair to say?
They are playing amazing, considering You said they're going to be horrible this year. And I'm like, no. They're going to be decent, I think.
The Pacers are kind of like holding on for dear life, but they're still winning basketball games without Victor Oladipo. They did get Wesley Matthews, who had been traded from Dallas to New York in that big Kristaps Porzingis trade, and then he was bought out. And now he's basically the fill-in for where Oladipo was playing at the combo guard spot. I wouldn't call it a lifesaver yet, but a decent move.
It's a Band-Aid.
It's enough to at least get them over the hump to at least win a few games. It's just one of those situations where you're ahead already in the standings. You're just doing whatever you can to make the piece fit so that you could just get to the playoffs. Now, how dangerous they're going to be in the playoffs is a whole nother story. That's up for debate. But you're just trying to get through, like we talked about this like last quarter of the season. And I think a guy like Matthews might be able to do just enough for him.
Yeah, he's. I'm surprised he's still serviceable because he had been declining.
Well, the thing was, the game that I definitely saw with the Pacers was the one where they beat the Pelicans. They made a comeback. Actually, Anthony Davis played in that game, but then he was put on minute restriction. Now, the obviously for those people who haven't been, you know, who've been under a rock, you know, the Anthony Davis trade did not happen. So we're at a point now where Anthony Davis is sort of in the purgatory. The Pelicans fired Dell Demps, the general manager. People kind of saw that coming. It doesn't surprise me. I know some people wanted me to check the dogs to see if I was okay. But I was like, no, I kind of saw it coming. But I felt like they were probably going to make that move after the Anthony Davis trade. And Gail Benson just decided, let's just kind of do a slow rebuild here.
But it was just strange timing afterwards. And, you know, well, let's just quickly double mm-hmm. back up on that. How big of a, I don't want to say, how big of a scapegoat is Anthony Davis to turn him into the villain in all of this for Rich Paul and LeBron?
How is he the scapegoat, though?
Because he was, I don't want to go here, I don't want to go there, these are my demands, I need to trade now, which was all, you know, I'm looking for a trade. Of course you do it a week beforehand because your agent knows that, you know, the Lakers don't have the best deal and LeBron, mm-hmm. your buddy wants to
ambush them so that you can try to panic the team into making a deal that they might regret later. You know, that's kind of the same feeling that a lot of people had when the Pelicans made that deal on All-Star Weekend in New Orleans with the Kings. Now, it turned out in hindsight that was actually a fairly good deal for the Kings. Would you agree?
Well, that's only because he didn't, you know, the whole thing would be different if Cousins re-signed.
But that was the mentality.
Or never gotten traded at all. You'd have Buddy Hield.
Let's just kind of like cluster them into this mentality like, oh, we got to make this move now because Anthony Davis wants to trade.
But the media attention was, who are these players now with 2 years left to say, I don't want to be here. I want to do my own deal. I want to do this and I want to do that. And then, you know, why is Anthony Davis angling to play his prime with a 37-year-old LeBron?
You know, it's not necessarily the coincidence.
And that's why I said
people finding it coincidental that he's with Clutch Sports and such. Like Paul George did the same exact thing to Indiana. The difference was Paul George at least had the respect to do it when the season was over. You know, that's the difference.
Yeah, he did in the offseason. That's why I said, how, you know, now Davis is the bad guy from all this for actually requesting the trade and saying, you know, not doing, you know, having his agent push this publicly as much as he did. Now, well, these are the teams I want to go to. I don't want to go to Boston. Well, we need
he
to interview everybody
back,
about him not wanting to go to Boston.
All 29 teams were on his list. So.
Well, yeah, he didn't say that. Okay, this is all coming from his agent. And then, you know, reportedly the agent said that Kyrie wants to go to New York. And he floated that rumor out, and it's just
and now we have all these lines of people staring down Kyrie Irving every time he talks to Kevin Durant, because now they're thinking, oh, Durant and Kyrie are in cahoots, and they're going to go play together in New York. Which is...
yeah, and that's why Porzingis wanted
we're
to leave because
really
Porzingis didn't want to play.
Like the conspiracy theory weeds here, yeah.
But all of this is coming from Anthony Davis just saying, "Look, I don't plan on re-signing here. You know, I don't want to stay here too long." But his agent had turned, you know, it's now he, you know, Davis is the bad guy for wanting out. and doing it, you know, in a
well. Here's the other problem.
Unclassy.
The only thing about Davis with the whole interview process after the trade demand happened that I took offense with was when he was the little quote where he said, "Well, it's my time, Anthony. It already is your time. You're already a top five NBA player. Why don't you just play well now and try to do what you can?" Do you know what the ironic thing, Adam, is about the Pelicans? They're actually still winning games. Like, and some people are saying, well, yeah, but that's all kind of crap-ass wins. Well, no, they beat the Thunder. They beat the Timberwolves. They beat the Lakers, who are fighting for a playoff spot. They beat the Rockets when nobody thought they were going to beat the Rockets. They're trying. Why? I mean, but now we're in this situation where, you know, you fire Demps. So now there's a public perception that the Pelicans are starting over. So they decided to put a minute limitation on Davis's how much Davis plays, and now you're in a situation where you feel like the team is just kind of not tanking the season, but sort of like packing it in.
Well, yeah. Well, I would like to say yeah, but for some reason, you know, Sheik Diallo can't mm-hmm. get past 17 minutes a game. I don't know why. What
I
weird
think,
minute
you
restriction
know,
he's
some,
on.
A lot of people criticized Alvin Gentry. I think actually this has been sort of an exhibition of how he is actually a really good offensive coach, because their offense being able to pump out some points, you know, they had a stretch there, if you remember, where Jahlil Okafor was putting up some pretty crazy numbers.
Well, that's what he always did. Don't forget, he put mm-hmm. up, he put up numbers in Philly.
Julius Randle played well. You know, they've even got, I mean, when you're squeezing out good play out of guys like, you know, Kenrick Williams and Frank Jackson, like, that's not easy. You know, we're.
But that's the problem of the franchise, is you have to sign a Kendrick Williams and a Darius Miller and
Randos, yeah.
all these other bums who, because yeah. you, yeah. And a random Pelicans note, Frank Jackson's pretty much garbage, isn't he?
You know, I mean, you hold out hope whenever, like, because this season is his rookie season, you know, a lot. It was one of those situations kind of like Blake Griffin had and Ben Simmons had, where an injury had plagued the rookie year, so they didn't play at all, and the second year is the rookie year. And you wish there was a little bit more development there, but definitely not. But
this is sort of, let's just go into the NCAA. This is basically what it's become, is everyone said go to college so we could sort of, you know, discriminate the good players from bad players. When you're bad players, you'll stay in school. But now everybody's just one and done. You don't even have to play. You could be, you know, you could be, Michael Porter Jr. play 7 minutes. You could be Giles, who I don't even know if he played. Scalabissier was, you know, high school number one preseason number one pick, and he was terrible. And
yeah,
they
well,
all
here's
get drafted
the one thing
still.
About Michael Porter. I mean, we're not gonna dig too deep into this, because I know we want to get to Zion. But the thing about Michael Porter Jr., he was the high school number one. I mean, I have no science. I don't have any evidence to prove this, but I got a feeling that the back injury that he said he had in Missouri was a little bit of a hoax, and that he felt like him and his family felt like he was protected enough as a lottery pick to basically sit out the entire freshman season and his stock would not tumble. But what happened is his stock did start at the plummet, and he rushed himself back to play for Missouri, and he had two bad games. And then the medical records came out that, in fact, he did have some like injury issues. And I think that's sort of a cautionary tale of, if you can play, just play, you know. There's the debate of, you know, because there's the formal proposal now to actually bring the age limit down to 18 years old, which would obviously put a lot of high school graduates into the NBA draft instead of having them do this one and done facade. But, you know, this is all coming back to, because Zion Williamson, you know, I haven't really gotten your, like, I haven't fleshed out your full opinion of this on podcast form. We've talked about it privately. Do you think Zion Williamson is the number one guy in the draft? Do you think this is a Shaquille O'Neal, Anthony Davis type of situation?
I am reserving judgment on him. Everyone's like already, you know, the Kool-Aid on him is just amazing, because, well, he's the next, you know, LeBron, because, you know, the next
plays
McGrady.
Like LeBron. He's got that kind of runaway train type of mentality to him when he plays.
He does, however, he's he could jump out of the gym.
No,
but
he doesn't
can't
make
shoot.
Outside shots at all.
And so,
yeah.
Which is, that's all the NBA is. Mm-hmm. And he's 6'7". So he's undersized for a power forward, which, yeah, they all go small ball, but he can't play low. And he can't, you know, LeBron had a shot. That was his.
He was a point guard who just happened to be 6'7" or 6'8". Zion Williamson is a power forward who happens to be 6'7".
Yeah, and the problem is, like, you know, everyone is comparing him, like, you know, oh, he's the next Barkley, he's the next LeBron, he's the next this. But remember, Wiggins was the next McGrady, and who was the kid who was the next
Brandon
Durant?
Well, I wouldn't call him
fizzled
out, but
too.
Brandon Ingram was compared favorably to Durant because of his wingspan and how skinny he was. But, you know, Ingram's not playing poorly for the Lakers. It's just a really weird situation in L.A. of whether or not that roster's going to even be there once they try to make a move to get Davis. But that's a whole other story. With Zion, he plays against North Carolina. His Nike shoe broke through. Like, he was planting his shoe, or he was planting his foot on a spin move. His foot came through the shoe, and he twisted his knee. He twisted the other knee. And so everybody was freaking out, oh, my God, this is going to hurt Nike. And all it turned out to be a PG shoe, a Paul George shoe. So everyone was like, oh, Paul George is going to be mad, and all the brand is going to fall apart. The thing – and now we have the pundit saying, oh, this is an embarrassment for the NCAA. It's showing how hypocritical they are. He needs to just shut it down. Don't let people take advantage of you. In my opinion – just for the sake of, you know, keeping your stock good, if you want to play, just play. That's how I feel about it.
Well, that's basically it. Yeah, I can see both sides. Yeah, he forced him to go to the NCAA. Yeah, he's playing it. So what do? He all plays with his friends. Everyone this year was like, oh, you're going to have the top three kids go to mm-hmm. Duke. This is just AAU ball. They all know they're one and done, so they're all just going to play with their friends. At every location this is happening.
RJ Barrett's the real deal, though. That's a really, really good player. That's number two.
Okay. Well, I thought
no,
Morant was
I think
number
Barrett's
two
number
you.
Two, and then Ja Morant, who plays for Murray State, the point guard. I think he's number three. It's not a very, very deep lottery. I think really it comes down to Zion.
It's a terrible, terrible draft this year. If I again after you could Barrett, I'll. You
what
could,
about
okay,
Bol Bol,
Barrett Reddish,
who basically pulled a Nick Bosa? You know who Nick Bosa is? He was the defensive lineman at Ohio State who had some kind of like weird, mysterious injury, and all of a sudden he shut himself down 4 games into the season after he had like a great start to the season for Ohio State.
Well, with Bol Bol, I thought his injury was. But it was one of those, like, yeah, he could come back for the playoffs if he wants to, but he'll be out for the season. It's like, well, then what's the point? Because, you know, he'd have to go to class if he stays in school. So, okay, I'm done. I'm just going to go focus on the draft. But, you know, as far as the draft's going, outside the three Duke kids in Reddish, you can't get me excited for, you know, the number 5 picking down. This is just – and the problem with tanking teams, like, if we go down to, like, you know, who has the picks right now – Memphis is like 6th, and you know, Atlanta, they're
Knicks
down there because there's so many
year?
Bad teams.
Okay, so they're obviously,
yes,
the New York fans will be begging to get number 1 or number 2. Begging.
I'm fine with that.
I mean,
as
we
long
cannot
as
talk about the Knicks as a team this year because obviously we talked about the trade that they made with the Dallas Mavericks, but oh my god, that team is just rotten as sin. I mean, Kevin Knox, Alonzo Trier. Dennis Smith Jr. has actually played okay for them, but holy shit, what a bad team. I don't even think Frank Ntilikina is healthy right now. So
I don't know if he's healthy.
No,
they just gave
I
up
think
on
he's
him.
Got an injury issue. He's been out for quite a while. Him and Dennis Smith Jr. haven't even played together yet.
And then, yeah, I got Moutier and
Mitchell Robinson.
Mario Hezonja, Noah Vonleh. It's just a misfit.
I mean, you and I were talking about some of the tanktastic teams, mostly in the East. You know, the Suns are just awful, but the Suns are awful not necessarily by design. It's just such a poorly run organization.
Well, that's why I say the Suns are the worst team. They're even worse than the Knicks because the Knicks, all right, they have no talent, but they're searching for a nice bench
guy. And they have DeAndre Ayton, a really good player.
But then you have Otto Porter Jr., you have Mikal Bridges, you have Josh Jackson, you have Oubre. And then you have everybody in your team's a small forward.
Weird, weird team. They'll be back in the lottery again, obviously. But in the East, it's sort of where the storyline's coming. Tank for Zion, because there's so many of them that are just god awful, from Chicago to New York. Who's a couple? Atlanta. There's another one in the bottom of the East that I'm missing. If you could help me out, Cleveland.
Atlanta, Chicago, New York.
Yeah, Cleveland is just, you know, they're always in that situation where they're desperate. You know, the thing I'll say about the Pelicans is they're not there yet. You know, and I almost give credit to the organization. The team is actually trying their hardest to actually not be terrible. So, and that's all you kind of hope for. But then you have a lot of those naysayers that you know, hope for doom because they want to get the highest lottery pick possible. So, you know, some of these people are like, why are you playing hard? You know, and here's the problem now, Adam. Like, I think this has been a situation in the NBA for many years. It's hard to tank when you're playing against other teams and there's multiple teams that are trying to tank at the same time.
Well, that's the problem, is you have like a quarter of the league tanking openly right now. So you could still be bad, but you're still six. Like Chicago,
but
they were tanking openly, and you can't last year. And you can't tell me that, you know, they're like Wendell Porter, you know, Wendell Carter Jr.'s are, he's a missing piece. He's going to be integral. He's great. No, nobody thinks that he could do, you know, anything really to push that team towards the playoffs. Okay, now you're back where you are because he's just another guy. So these people are getting like fifth and sixth, like, you know, Phoenix. Well, we got Dragon Bender and Marquise Chris. Oh, well, that's you guys. How do you still? No wonder the GM got fired for
But the point I was trying to make about Boston is, like, you know, the Chicago Bulls are god awful. You know, they're sitting at 16-44, for God's sakes, but they still beat the Boston Celtics at full strength. Like, I mean, it's not like teams are not trying at all. You know.
Well, the Celtics.
Well, the Celtics
trying,
but the Bulls are at least. You know, sometimes you just put a player out there, or you put a group of players out there, and they're actually going to, like, play their ass off, even if the team as an organization is not putting their best foot forward. You know, sometimes, like, the Dallas Mavericks are in a really weird situation because it's almost like they punted on this season, but they're all in on next season because of the acquiring Kristaps Porzingis, but they know that they're probably not going to have him this season. That's sort of a unique situation.
Yeah, so that's funny. Porzingis is like, I'm just going to take the qualifying offer. It's like, nobody's going to offer you money that Dallas could offer you. Like, Dallas wants you. Like, you don't have any leverage now.
By doing the qualifying offer, that means you're an unrestricted free agent the following year, or in your last year.
Yeah, and it's just like, well, nobody wants, you know, you, that Dallas is going to pay more than anybody else. So why don't you try enjoying your situation there? Okay, maybe I'll try to enjoy my situation.
But the one thing about Zion, and we'll be done with it, is the fact that there was a lot of, like, there was a lot of NBA people tweeting out, you know, oh man, that, and I don't know if it's necessarily because of the shoe, you know, because obviously these shoe companies have a lot of, like, protectors. Some people are like, man, that wouldn't have happened if you wore my shoe, or, oh, I hope Zion, I mean, even LeBron James dropped a tweet. Barack Obama, who was at the game in Cameron, dropped a tweet about hoping Zion Williamson's okay, which he is. It was a grade one sprain, which was one of the less severe type of knee sprain. So I would probably, if I had the bet money, he'll probably be back by the end of the regular season. But it's just one of those situations where, do you think Zion Williamson's become bigger than Duke basketball or bigger than one and done? Like, to the point where, because, you know, NBA and, you know, the draft process, it's a capitalistic process. People are looking at it thinking, how can my team get better and how can my team profit off of this man's talent? Do you feel like Williamson, just like it happened with Davis when he was at Kentucky, and I know there's a couple of other situations where one and done really just blew up, and he was the top overall pick, kind of a slam dunk type of pick. Do you feel like Williamson's become more important to the process than college basketball itself?
Well, it's because there hasn't been a superstar player. It's been you know, Kentucky every year. Okay, here's their top five All-Americans.
And the rating, and the ratings
they
show
are.
That. You know, yep. Now, Duke, every time Duke plays, the ratings always go up. But with Zion in particular, the ratings have been higher than normal. So.
Yeah, as curiosity, then ratings have been lower than normal because nobody else is. The Pac-12 is unwatchable. Half the, you know, you're trying to tell me that Michigan's a top 10 team this year? No, it's not. Don't try telling me that there's anything good about this. There's a reason, like, the NBA has sort of picked a claim with all the one-and-dones. It's like, you know what, let's just have our guys just not even
go ahead
there. And then if the players are stupid enough to, well, I'm going to go in the draft, then, well, you're not going to get drafted, so you can't go to college because college is, you know, NCAA
is a
horrible
problem with,
organization.
Analysts telling Zion he's better off shutting it down. I mean, because if you're a basketball player, that's what you want to do. You want to play basketball.
Well, that's the thing is, that's why people question players' heart for, you know, Porter. Well, I'm going to shut it down. I'm just going to sit because my draft stock might be hurt. Anthony Davis. Well, if I sit, well, then I will get, you know, paid more next year. Mm-hmm. Some people just want to play and have fun. Other people are like, yeah, I got no problem shutting it down super early. You know, John Wall, I'm just going to get my surgery and be out for the year.
That was very interesting. I didn't get the full crux of the story, but from what I read, John Wall tore his Achilles tendon at home. Is that correct?
Yep. He fell in his house and just tore his Achilles. It's like, well, that's your career.
That's a rough one.
That's a point guard.
And he's about to go into the Supermax deal, which is 5 years, and it incrementally increases up towards like $39 to $40 million in your last year. Not good, Bob.
Nope, it's ugly, and he's out for a full year, so he'll be back at Christmas. And
the only upside is that Bradley Beal has been playing out of his mind for the last two months, with in Wall's absence, of course.
Well, yeah, because
they
hate
each
other.
It's like fully confirmed that Bradley Beal and John Wall do not get along?
Yeah, they don't seem. They're just coworkers.
But are you saying you don't get along with some of your coworkers?
I'm just saying they are coworkers, and then that's where once they get off the court,
they're not winning a lot of games. Beal's putting up some crazy numbers. I'm pretty sure he was one of the All-Stars. Am I right? Yeah, him. D'Angelo Russell was in there. He's been playing well for Brooklyn, of course. Kevin Walker, you know, at the host city, Charlotte. And, you know, Charlotte's just hanging around. They really didn't make too many moves, but we can kind of transition this into teams that did make some moves. Like, was there one that you noticed, even if it's just kind of in its infancy with some of the new-look teams, like where you feel like either this is not going to work or you really like the mix?
I kind of like
the way the Clippers look with Tobias Harris being traded. Like, I think with Montrezl Harrell now sort of being at the centerpiece of the front court, and they were already kind of doing that because DeAndre Jordan had already been gone like for the season because he left for Dallas, and unbelievably he got traded to New York. But now they're really like moving Harrell into that spot. But I like Landry Shamet playing with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. That's a good future point guard crop right there.
That's a very mishmash. I don't think they have the talent. You know, Gallinari is
actually playing pretty well
before the end of the season as well. Well, he always played well. He just has never been healthy ever.
The one that would have definitely worked, but it just didn't happen, was Utah getting Mike Conley. It just didn't happen, though. That, I think, would have put him over.
Well, Mike Conley reportedly didn't really want to go. He was content where he is. He's content being part of the rebuild, being a leader. It wasn't like Gasol was like, yeah, I've ran my course. I'm getting old for this.
How do you feel about those? I call them the cherry on top deals that Milwaukee did. Because all good teams do this, where they feel like, oh, there's a missing piece. Oh, let's get this guy. Oh, there's another piece. Like, now we're at a point with Milwaukee where, you know, they added George Hill, which I think was a solid move. He's played well for them. And now they get Nikola Mirotic, basically on a borrowed deal from the Pelicans.
You're going to loan a deal straight stealing on that one.
How do you feel about that one?
They are going all in this year. And, you know, the reports that Toronto was going to offer Lowry up for Connolly.
I didn't hear that one.
Yep, they offered him in Memphis.
I mean, the big
down,
ones that we already discussed in the earlier shows was Dallas and New York. The problem is New York is trash, and Dallas has already kind of quietly given up on their own season. When it comes to new looks, I mean, the one that has actually kind of paid off already early on is the Blazers getting Enes Kanter. Did you like that one? He's a scoring big man, you know, sort of helps out.
He's a great sign, but Portland is a very strange destination for him. I mean,
we know this about Portland. They're sort of in that squeeze with the money where, you know, especially with McCollum and Nurkic and Lillard's contracts where they really don't have room to, like, bring in a really good player.
Oh, they
in the
don't
off
have room,
season.
But for him
they had
to
get somebody in the buyout market. And, you know, I think you've illustrated this pretty well throughout the season that there were so many contracts that were going to be expiring in the summer of 2019 and then in the summer of 2020 that there was just going to simply be a lot of veterans on the market to be potential buyouts so that they could go to other teams and go on the minimum deal to just be contributors to a playoff team. And that's kind of shown itself pretty well for the last 2 or 3 weeks.
But for him to want to sign to Portland,
no.
You don't hear many people wanting to sign there.
I'm trying to think of a couple of the other ones that, you know, I mean, Miami traded away Tyler, and they got Ryan Anderson to the deal. I don't know how Ryan Anderson fits with the Miami Heat, but
he fits in because he is his
I know,
guarantee
but,
is
as
less
a
next
player,
year.
Like they don't shoot threes. They like I get that.
Yeah, they don't. He's just a future buyout candidate.
Markieff Morris went to the Oklahoma City Thunder, but that's very, very early. I don't even know if we're going to see much of it. Marcin Gortat, that's the other ex-Wizard big man. He hasn't even chosen a team yet. And then the other one that is huge was Toronto getting Marc Gasol in a trade where they traded away Jonas Valanciunas, CJ Miles, and who was the other guy that they traded away? DeLon Wright, my best friend.
DeLon
He's
Wright.
Gone.
Milwaukee and Toronto are going all in this year, so there's your finals. Philly has shown they have
not,
no
hold,
zero bench
I'm not
now.
I'm just going to slide that. You're just going to put it away like Boston. You're going to do that whole like side shade thing where you just don't think Boston's going to get to the conference finals.
Are they going to – could
yeah,
they beat Milwaukee?
They almost beat them Thursday night.
Okay, could they beat Toronto?
Yes. Let
no,
me ask you this. Siakam's development, do you think that went to Valanciunas' exit? I mean, he's played well, but I
possibly.
Mean, Siakam's not at a point yet where he's like a dependable, like great sidekick type of player. You know, Valanciunas, that you know, say what you will about him in terms of his diversity of talents, but that guy can freaking – he can get points and rebounds. You know, so I mean, for Memphis,
yeah,
you know, not the worst move in the world, you know.
It was the fact they didn't get much draft picks out of that. They just got like a second or something.
You know,
so.
Memphis is sort of in an attrition. They're sort of they're kind of the West version of Cleveland. Cleveland's either been the third wheel in three-way trades or they just took on so many misfit toys that sometimes I forget who's even on their team. Like, I totally forgot Alec Burks even played there. Cleveland.
Well, now
he is,
he's
yes.
on Sacramento,
they moved him, I think,
I
in the Iman Shumpert deal, right? Or am I – yeah.
Yes, and – Utah
yeah, like
was very
Avery
glad
Bradley.
To get rid of him
I blinked and missed it. Avery Bradley plays for the Grizzlies now.
Yep, Avery Bradley is gone, and he's bad mouthing Doc Rivers.
Jamichael
like
Green
else
is with
their
the
way out.
Clippers. Now, Jamichael Green is like one of those really good athletic rebounders. He might fit with the Clippers.
He didn't
you know,
do much this
the funniest
year.
Part about the Grizzlies, the biggest irony is that, you know, we had the whole Brooks or Brooks thing. They're both still there, I believe. Or is Marshawn cut?
Yep. Marshawn might
yeah,
be cut.
And then you
Dylan
got poor,
is injured,
poor Chandler Parsons and that albatross of a contract. The thing that's really the only thing that was sort of disappointing following the Grizzlies is that Jaren Jackson Jr. has a deep thigh bruise, so it looks like he's going to be out for quite a while. I would say probably a few weeks.
Yep, that's a
he was
big
he was playing
shame
very
for
well.
Him and Yeah, he was mm-hmm. They could build around
outside
him.
Outside of that, you know, Sacramento made some kind of interesting moves. What did you think of adding Harrison Barnes?
That's for the future. I don't think he does much now, and I don't know if they want
you don't
him
feel
to
like
do
this,
much now.
You don't feel like this was a playoff push move?
No, because their starting four was Nemanja Bjelica, and he's mm-hmm. not a big superstar, so you swap him out, that four is not meant to do much. So you can bring him in nice and slow, sort of develop. This is the Aaron Fox and
Buddy Hield,
Bogdanovich and
well, Buddy Hield. I mean, I've seen a couple 30-point games out of this guy like for a couple weeks where I'm just like, holy smoke, the Pelicans may have blown it. You know, I do get that PTSD every now and then when I watch him.
Again, it's not their fault. Nobody's fault that.
You know, everyone makes fun of the All-Star weekend being an exhibition, but I will say I do enjoy the shooting stars or the rising stars, I'm sorry, for this reason. You know the good ones. Like, you know when you watch them which ones are the real standouts, and I think we were talking about this. The three that we were talking about that really stood out were Luka Doncic, De'Aaron Fox, and Jason Tatum, right?
Yes. And not necessarily for the right reasons, like Luka Doncic for the skills competition.
No,
really
I'm just talking about the game,
it.
The rising stars game, yeah.
The rookie versus, yeah, but those they weren't really.
Yeah, the MVP was Kyle
seriously
Kuzma.
Either.
Now, you know, Kuzma's really good, you know, but obviously, I don't think the Lakers want to give up on him. Like, they don't want to lump him into the trade to get Anthony Davis. They're going to actually just probably play a game of chicken and try to get him for nothing in 2 years. But we'll see how that goes.
Well, why would they? He's a cheap deal. He plays well with LeBron. And then, you know, is everything mm-hmm. Brandon Ingram
Man,
hasn't
wait, you
been.
Are just shitting all over Brandon Ingram. What is wrong with you?
Well, I didn't intend to, but wasn't he supposed to be the next Durant? Supposed to be really good. And maybe that just says about the Lakers' development is they didn't develop him at all, and he hasn't done much.
My
or taken
problem with him is that
and,
defensively, it seemed like he was getting somewhere earlier in the year, and now he's sort of taken a step backward with the rest of the team. And the additions that they made didn't really do anything to like really like to kind of improve like the problems that they had. Like they add Reggie Bullock and Mike Muscala. Those are not defensive stalwarts, Adam. You know?
Those are people that all don't play well with LeBron. These are like the same thing with
like,
Rondo.
Tyson
like there's
Chandler
no spacing in there. And it's like what are you doing? You've just sort of wasted this year. He doesn't have much years left and you're blowing it on getting players that he doesn't
and
play
the other
well
thing
with.
About too, some of these rosters is that the ones that stand pat are the ones that are probably really good and they're stable for a reason because they feel good about their roster. Like the Nuggets didn't make too many moves that I know of, if any. The Warriors made no moves. The only move, quote unquote, they made was they put DeMarcus Cousins in the lineup now that he's healthy. And he's played pretty well. Like, how do you feel about Cousins post-Achilles?
I don't. The Golden
oh my
State's
God!
Not
now you're like just totally giving up on NBA basketball. Then
it's the same way at the beginning of the year. Once they sign Cousins, it's just mm-hmm. like, yeah, we know they're going to win. It still doesn't look like they're not going to. It's just well, let's get to the
you know like Boston. I don't even know if they were even able to make a move to be honest. And Philly made a bunch of moves, but you know I want to save the Sixers for the next episode because I feel like that we can really like. We're going to have a much better idea about them.
Boston
they did, but like,
up a roster
I mean,
spot.
That's small. Like, that's like, oh, let's fit in like Marcin Gortat or Carmelo Anthony or some guy like that. That's all that is, you know?
Yeah, they're going to.
I would almost rather have Gershon Yabusele. At least he knows what Brad Stevens wants. Yeah, but for the most, you know, were you surprised, though, because I talked about standing pat with Golden State and Denver. For the other top two teams in the other conference, Milwaukee and Toronto, were you surprised that they decided to load up?
No, I guess this is your year to do it, and you sort of have to because Toronto mm-hmm. has a tiny window. If Kawhi leaves, you have nothing. and Lowry's getting older and you have nobody else.
How proud were you of Sean Marks for the Brooklyn Nets not taking the bait and not trading any assets thinking that he could make the playoffs? Because that would have been the poison apple.
Well, he would have traded for somebody that would fit the
system. But that's the thing. They would have wanted one of those draft picks that they've been desperately trying to get back after the horrible Boston trade. And that would have been part of the deal if they wanted to add like a really big piece. You know, like say, for example, they wanted Otto Porter Jr. Well, the Wizards would have won a draft pick in return. So.
Well, let's. That's another discussion for another day.
Pretty much a little bit of a up and down with the league, but I feel like we're, like I said, I feel like things are starting to settle down. Since this is Oscar night, do you have a big winner?
Go with the Gaga, Bradley Cooper.
You don't like the black and white Mexican movie on Netflix? What's wrong with you? That's the art film of the century. Roma. It's called Roma.
I'll do this again. We'll go with Lady Gaga.
Well, it's much funner to talk about than Glenn Close. Now, listen, no disrespect to Glenn Close. She could probably kill me with her bare hands. But yeah, because the favorite is Glenn Close. I think the best actor favorite is the guy who played Freddie Mercury. Yeah, Freddie Mercury, which is Rami Malek. I want to say his name right. And then Christian Bale for playing Dick Cheney. So.
That's nobody's gonna watch it. They've already had their con. They have no host. They wanted to put stuff in commercials, and people got mad.
On ABC. Why didn't they just have like a bunch of NBA basketball players host the show?
Because the NBA night on NBA TV is terrible. Probably wants too much money.
How much? Wants to be the star. I totally forgot. How much money did he get in Houston to take the cheapo deal after the buyout? Like, then why
was veteran
are you telling
minimum.
Me that Houston was so far over into the tax that they had to squeeze out as much money as they can, that they actually had to trade away Melo instead of just outright cutting him to get Kenneth Faried? It still bothers me that that's how far over into the tax the Houston Rockets were.
Well, you know, think about it. Harden's a max deal. You have Chris Paul making 35. You had Ryan Anderson making 20. You gave Capella like 15 or 17 million.
Did he have a knee problem? Yeah, he just came back. But the thing is, like, you talk about warrior killers with the Celtics jokingly. The Rockets kind of are – like, Harden always gives them problems. Always has. Always will. So, all right. On behalf of Adam Murray, this is Andrew Reich. We'll see you guys again. Thank you.